The prophet Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." I was in the Colorado Springs airport. It's been several years ago now. Gail and I were flying out to Best 8 Days, the young adult retreat that we're a part of out there every year. And I showed the lady my boarding pass and my driver's license, and she said to me, "So how do you do it?" And I'm like, "How do I do what? I mean, is it the smile, the hair, the walk?" You know, I'm not sure. Okay, it wasn't that at all. Okay, I said, so how do I do what? And she said, "Change your world." And then I looked down and remembered I was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Change your world." So I said, "Well, I'm a Christian. I believe that the only way to change the world is through Jesus Christ." And she said, "You know, I've been praying some lately." I said, "That's a good start." And that was the whole conversation. I mean, we had a line of people behind us. We had a plane to go catch. I could not say more, even though I would have liked to have been able to. But I want you to know that what I said to her, I absolutely believe is true. The only way to really change the world is through Jesus. Man, government can't do it. If we haven't seen that in the last few decades, it's not the answer to the world's problems, right? Legislation is not going to do it. Winning a culture war is not going to solve the problems of our world. Change starts with you and it starts with me. It happens one person at a time through Jesus. And that's why we're doing this I, Jesus series, to try to figure out what it is about him that when people came into contact with him, they were never the same after that. And we see it over and over again. We see it in Scripture. We see it in life today. What is it about him? Who he was then, who he is now. Why does it matter? That's what we're trying to unpack in this series. In the New Testament, if you know anything about the New Testament, you've probably heard of John, one of Jesus' disciples. Many believe he was Jesus' closest friend. John wrote the Gospel of John, a biography about Jesus. He also wrote some letters. In 1 John, the first epistle, chapter 1, it begins this way. "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and we have seen. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself," I love that, "this one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us." So far in this I, Jesus series, we have seen Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who cares for us, who leads us. We've seen Jesus, the true vine, who calls us and then empowers us to do what he has called us to do. And today we're going to see Jesus as the light of the world. Each of these were I am statements of Jesus. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the true vine. I am the light of the world. Jesus declared in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am the light of the world. What did the prophet Isaiah say? "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." You know, what is it about darkness that makes most people so uncomfortable? Why can a room feel, I don't know, friendly and inviting with just the tiniest bit of light, a candle, even a night light? But when all that's gone, when you can't see your hand in front of your face, it can feel so intimidating, even creepy. That huge prisoner in the movie clip from the movie The Green Mile. Just a little bit afraid of the dark. Even big people can be afraid of the dark. Now, that guy ended up kind of being the hero of the movie, but he admitted dark can be scary. The insecurity, I think, mainly comes from the unknown, right? Whether there's something that may be in your path you're going to trip over, or maybe there's a fear that there's somebody lurking in the dark who wants to do you harm. The fact that we can't see what's around us can freak out a lot of people. And, you know, ghost stories and scary movies and all that probably haven't helped. When you're alone in the dark, you feel vulnerable. And you're just thinking about light. You know, where's that light switch? I got to get my hands on a flashlight. Where's my phone? Anything to get some little bit of light, because you want to push back the darkness at least a little bit to have a sense of security. Well, the Gospel of John begins with John telling us some things about Jesus. Jesus has always been with God. God created everything through Jesus. Jesus is the source of all life. And then it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, life, Jesus' life, brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And then you read on through the Gospel of John, and it gets to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, John tells us about Jesus and a blind man. Apparently, Jesus and the disciples were walking along one day, and they came across this man. It says he was born blind. I'm not sure how they knew that he was born blind. Maybe he had a sign that said, born blind, will work for food, licensed referee. I don't know, but he had something about him. They figured out that he was, thank you. I want to make sure you caught that, NCAA and stuff, you know. I mean, come on, March Madness. Okay. Somehow they knew this guy had always been blind. Now, when the disciples then asked a question, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And you would think, hopefully, they were sensitive enough to not ask that question right in front of him, right? Or at least to whisper the question, although some blind people have really great hearing. I've known people like that. Whose fault was it, they want to know, that this guy was born blind? And this was Jesus' response in John chapter 9, verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me, because night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And there it is again. I am the light of the world. Jesus meets this man who was immersed in darkness, and he declared himself the light of the world. Then he did something pretty strange about this guy's disability. He didn't just kind of pop him on the head or say, you know, be healed or have sight or whatever. He spit on the ground, he made a little mud, and he wiped the mud on the guy's eyes. Isn't that nice? And then he told the guy to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and the guy's thinking, that's a great idea, I'd like to wash that off. So the man stumbles to the pool, he washes the mud away, and suddenly, for the first time in his life, can you imagine, the first time ever, he's able to see. It's just hard to imagine. Max Lucado writes in one of his books about a guy named Bob Edens. Bob was blind his whole life, 51 years. And then one day a surgeon performed a very complicated procedure, and for the first time in his life, when the bandages came off, Bob could see. Can you imagine? Bob said this, I never dreamed that yellow would be so yellow. He said, I just can't describe yellow. I mean, yellow's incredible, but my favorite color's red. He said, I just don't have the words to describe red. And then he says, I look at the moon, I see the shape of the moon, and I just love to watch a jet fly over, leaving a vapor trail, and then the sun rises and sunsets. I mean, don't get me started. And then he said this, you could never know how wonderful it is. And he's right, because we've had sight. We could never know how wonderful it is to live your whole life without being able to see, and suddenly you can see. From darkness to light. That's what Jesus did for the man in our text. Man, he brought a literal, physical light into this guy's life. Now, the Pharisees, when they heard about it, Jesus had healed the guy on the Sabbath day, they were mad. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They considered healing work. Jesus had worked on the Sabbath. He broke the rules. They're mad. Forget that this guy had never been able to see in his life, and now he can see. I was trying to think, what would this be like? This would be, I think, like when Jesus walked on the water. I mean, unbelievable, walked on the water. When he got in the boat, the disciples said, you didn't wipe your feet. You're getting water all over the deck of this boat. I mean, you know, you kind of missed the point. These guys could not see the point at all. He had just been healed. They're mad about it. And so they go get this guy. They find him, bring him in here. We want to talk to him. And they drag him in. He told them what Jesus had done for him. Somebody had the bright idea, maybe he's been faking all these years. He hasn't really been blind all of his life. So they send for his parents. His parents come in. They're all nervous. You know, they're scared. Was this guy really born blind? They say, yeah, he really was. So then they send for him again. And John tells us what happens next. I love this conversation. A second time, they summon the man who had been blind. This is John 9:24. Give glory to God. In other words, tell us the truth. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's one thing I know. I was blind and now I see. And they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he said, I've told you already and you didn't listen. You want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Oh, they hurled insults at him. They said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man said, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly who do his will. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Man, I love this guy's courage. He is challenging the integrity of the religious establishment, probably the most powerful Jewish leaders in Israel at that time. You guys think he's a sinner? Hello, McFly. I mean, he just healed me. Been blind my whole life. And you think he's up to no good. His response went over so well, they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard about it. Jesus went and found him. Remember, he's never seen Jesus. Jesus put the mud on his eyes and left. The guy went and washed and he's healed. He doesn't know who Jesus is. Jesus comes and finds him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus is talking about himself. The guy says, tell me who he is, I'll believe him. You wouldn't believe the kind of day I'm having. I'll believe anything today. And Jesus says, it's me. And you know what it says next? The guy says, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and worshiped him. Of course he did. He's got sight. He's got light. Of course he worshiped. Now this guy not only went from physical darkness to light, he moved from darkness to light spiritually, right? Born blind, he's given sight. One minute, he doesn't know Jesus. As soon as he meets him, he's worshiping at his feet immediately. Spiritual sight. See, I believe, and you know, the world's a dark place. And Jesus is the light. He's the light. I got to thinking as I was working on this message that there are two key ways that a person can be in the dark. One is for there to be an absence of light, right? I mean, they're just surrounded by darkness. Or they can close their eyes. Now, I mean, you get into blindness and all that other stuff. I'm just saying, for us, we can either be in a dark place or we can close our eyes and be in the dark. Some people are in a dark place. I mean, they're struggling, they're straining, they can't see the path, they don't know anything about Jesus, they don't know that he's the answer. Now, in that case, if they learn about Jesus and they surrender to Jesus, then he gives them light. It's just this beautiful thing that happens. And so they can invite his light into their lives. But the second way of being in the dark, to just close your eyes This is the person who's surrounded by the light of Jesus. They just won't see it. They just refuse to see it. And I've known both kinds of people. I've known people who just lived in the dark for any number of reasons. There was just darkness all around them. Stubbornness, arrogance, maybe just ignorance. They'd never heard. No light. And there were people like that in the Bible, you know, who just lived in darkness. King Herod was dark. Ahab and Jezebel, dark. Pontius Pilate, Simon the sorcerer. These are people who just kind of lived in the dark. But I've known other people who were just standing right in the light. They might have even invited the light of Jesus into their lives, but they just ignore the light and they just close their eyes all the time. And we see people like that in the Bible too. Samson, raised in a godly home, called by God, and yet he was just so dark for so long. King Saul, Solomon for a while, darkness. Judas Iscariot. People who knew God, maybe some who had a relationship with Jesus, but they closed their eyes to the very light that they were standing in. I think the best example of that may be these Pharisees. The Pharisees spent about as much time listening to Jesus teach as anybody, but they listened like this. They didn't listen to Jesus. They refused the light they were standing in. Their lives were dark because they were absorbed in their own lives, their own reputations, their own agenda, and they missed him, most of them. All they had to do was open their eyes, but they wouldn't. So there's two kinds of people who stumble around in the dark. Those actually in the dark and those with their eyes closed. And I'm going to guess you probably know those kind of people. Right? On the one hand, somebody who's just lost in the dark and they're running away from the light instead of toward it. And then those kind of people who are standing right in the light and they just have their eyes shut. And they don't know where they're going. They can't find their way. And they're just too stubborn to just open their eyes. I mean, you know, I think about my life. I never really lived in the dark. I was born in a Christian home and I kind of grew up with faith. But I've shut my eyes a lot of times. Just being too stubborn to open them up and see what God was up to. I've ignored the light. I'm guessing most of us have at some point. What did Jesus say back in John 8? Listen to this again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is a conscious decision. The one who follows me will have light. All the way back in the Old Testament, Psalm 73, a man named Asaph said, I am always with you, O Lord. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you take me into glory. Notice he doesn't say, you are always with me. Of course, God's always with us. He said, I am always with you. That's the choice. We can either be with him or not. We can follow him or not. God, of course, is with us. Are we with him? Now, let's kind of dig a little deeper into this whole darkness concept. There's different kinds of darkness. There is a literal darkness. There's just no light. And think of it, I'm just maybe stretching here, but think of this as like situational darkness. Man, I'm just in a dark place in my life right now. It's just the way things are right now. This guy in our text is born blind. He had no control over that. He's just dark. He lived his whole life in the dark. And then Jesus came along and opened his eyes. His experience, his whole life kind of serves as a metaphor of what it's like when Jesus comes along and floods light into your darkness. Just a beautiful picture. Some of you, if you've been around church for a long time, might recognize the name Fanny Crosby, the most prolific hymn writer, certainly of the 20th century, maybe of all time. She wrote some 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. She wrote Blessed Assurance, praise him, to God be the glory, songs that are still being sung in many places today. She's blind her entire life. And she once wrote, if perfect earthly sight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. When I get to heaven, the first face I will ever see is the face of my Savior. She didn't want her eyesight, but she was in the light. Absolutely. She experienced his light in her life. Situational darkness for you is probably not literal blindness. But you know what? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's next. Jesus, bring some light into this chaos, would you? And he will. But there's also emotional darkness, I think. There is that dark tunnel of grief. Many of you have walked through it. You might be in it right now. All of us one day will walk through it. There's periods of sadness, loneliness, despair. Part of the human condition. Sometimes depression can just be a low spirit. Blue Christmas, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Sometimes depression is due to a chemical imbalance in the brain and you need some help. But wherever it comes from, Jesus offers light to the person who's in the dark emotionally. In Philippians chapter 4, it tells us to find joy, to have joy, be joyful always. And then it tells us some ways to work on that. Be gentle, be thankful, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And when we do that, you know what happens? Paul says that we're going to have peace. That this peace will come into our lives. He said it's a peace you're not even going to understand. Nobody's going to be able to explain it to you. It's just this crazy peace that you're going to get when you're close to Jesus. And then you remember what the angels said to the shepherds when Jesus was born? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Good news, great joy for all people. Those walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And the angel said, there's going to be joy and peace for those who follow Jesus. Maybe not happy and carefree, he didn't promise that, but joy and peace. So there's a literal situational kind of darkness. I'm just in the dark. It's a dark place. There's emotional darkness. That's how I feel. But friends, there's also spiritual darkness. This was the Pharisees, so proud of their own righteousness, but they couldn't recognize the Son of God standing right in front of them. Spiritual darkness is the suicide bomber who thinks, if I strap a bomb to my chest and I take out as many infidels as possible, I'm going to get a higher place in heaven. That's spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is the atheist who says, all of this is the result of random chance and cosmological accidents over billions of years. There's no rhyme or reason, here we are. But spiritual darkness can also be the person who comes to church every Sunday, goes through the motions every week, and lives like the devil Monday through Saturday. It means nothing. They're in the light and they're in the dark at the same time because their eyes are closed. Listen to what John wrote in 1 John, back to his letter again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Listen, if we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And we don't even live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Jesus invites us, in fact, he commands us to walk along with him, to walk in the light, to walk in his circle of light, and we make a decision. He's the light of the world. We can live in the darkness if we want to, but we have to follow close to him, and then we're in the light. Again, John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me. And you know why this is so important? You know what this means? When we're in the light, it brings clarity to our lives. It reveals what's around us. There's so much you can't see in the dark. But when the lights are on, even just a little bit, things become so much more clear. If you have ever done a cave tour, I can just about guarantee they turned off the lights at some point. And it just does not get any darker than that. And then probably the guide struck a match, lit a candle, did something to create just the tiniest bit of light. And it's amazing how much you can see when it's that dark. Darkness for you might be doubt. It might be discouragement, depression, fear. And it might be something kind of evil in your life. It might be a secret sin. It might be some kind of open rebellion against God. But the darkness makes it impossible to see the path. And so when Christ's light comes in, all of a sudden there's clarity. And you know what the clarity brings? It brings confidence. You can't see the path in the dark. You can't walk with confidence when you have no clue where you're going. You know, when I was a teenager at Okolona Christian Church in Louisville, there was a woman who came to our church who was blind. She was totally blind. And she had a seeing eye dog. It was this beautiful golden retriever. Oh, just so well behaved. We'd love to see her come in with that dog. And I often had to ride the city bus, went to Mayo High School downtown, and so I was back and forth. And she rode the same route sometimes that I did. And I can just remember, I'd be on the bus. She would come walking confidently down the sidewalk. She'd come to the bus stop. She'd wait for the bus. The door would open. She would get on the bus. She would walk down to an open seat. She would sit down. You would never dream she was blind. The only reason she could do that was because of that dog. It's the only reason. He was her light. He was her eyes. And she could do so much, anything she needed to do because of that dog. And Jesus is the light in our lives. Okay, sometimes it's a very subtle light. We want him to flip on a light switch and he shines a little flashlight, but he lights our way if we stay close to him. My bottom line today, don't have anything up on the screen. It's only three words and they all start with the same letter. I'm trying to do you a favor, okay? Three words. Christ, clarity, confidence. When the light of Christ floods our lives, when we invite Jesus in and we walk with him, there is light. So Christ gives clarity and we can have confidence. Christ, clarity, confidence, because he is the light of the world. And so we need to be seeking his light. I mean, we need to pray every day for wisdom. I believe this. You know, when you're praying over your food or you're praying for somebody who's sick that you're concerned about, you're doing a morning prayer, evening prayer, one of the things that ought to be in there is to pray for wisdom. Because he says, I'm the light. He will light your path. He will help you along, but we have to remember to pray. So the Apostle John in this account today, he tells us about a man born blind. Everybody knew he was blind. Oh, that's the blind man. We know him. He's the blind guy. He has an encounter with Jesus. He's filled with light. In the same account, there's a group of men that everybody assumed were walking in the light. They would have been glad to tell you if you asked. They were the enlightened ones. But Jesus made it clear the Pharisees were blind. They were as close to the light of the world as they could possibly be, and their eyes were closed. They had all the outward symbols of godliness, but they were so empty inside because they were self-absorbed. So friends, this is the big question. Are you like the blind man who had his eyes opened? Or are you like the Pharisees, light all around you, and he got your eyes shut? I think most people who sit in church are one or the other. And we get to decide if we're going to open our eyes and walk in the light. Back in the 90s, I was preaching at Fern Creek Christian Church, and a minister friend of mine told me about a lady in his church. Her name's Susan Lehman. I didn't know Susan, but she told him this story. He told it to me. She was a school teacher at a public school up in Louisville somewhere. And it was the second day of class in the fall. She's a math teacher, 23 students in her class. And I don't know, this was just like an icebreaker. I don't know what it was. But she was brainstorming with these juniors in high school. If you were stranded on a deserted island, who are the six people you'd want to have on the island with you? And of course, they started out with movie stars and models and all the people they'll never get to meet, but they'd sure like to, and they'd like to be stranded with him or her, and you know, all that kind of stuff, famous people. And then they began to think a little bit about survival. And remember, this is back in the 90s. One of them just kind of jokingly said, how about Dave from Wendy's? Okay, he's the founder of Wendy's restaurant. You know, maybe he could whip up some burgers for us or something. All right, somebody else said, many of you won't remember this. Somebody else said, Crocodile Dundee. You remember him, Crocodile Dundee? You call that a knife? Now, this is a knife. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah, he could do anything. Then somebody else said, how about the professor from Gilligan's Island, right? He could solve any problem for us. Then Mrs. Lehman said, now remember, you got to have shelter. Somebody said, put Jesus on that list. He was a carpenter. Then one of the other kids said, yeah, and if we got sick or hurt, he could heal us. Public school. Somebody else said, you know, he fed 5,000 people with one little kid's lunch. We wouldn't go hungry. Then somebody said, if we had Jesus, we wouldn't need anybody else. If we had Jesus, we wouldn't need anybody else. I am the light of the world, he said. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Christ, clarity, confidence. Let's pray. Well, Father, we've sung about light and talked about light and read about light all morning long. We've had lights on all through the morning. And we believe that Jesus is the light of the world. That if we walk with him, we will not be in darkness. And so, Father, I pray that you give us the courage and the strength to do that. Some people are lost in the dark, and you've sent us to find them and show them the light. There's a lot of people that just have their eyes closed. They're so close to the light, it would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. But they're in the dark because they just won't open their eyes. God, I pray for those who just have refused to see, that you would be real to them and that they would find the light that you offer. We stand before you, sit before you. We're going to sing before you in just a moment, inviting your light into our lives. Where else would we go? We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.